Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Sometimes we have to take the time to take a good look at ourselves and be honest and ask ourselves questions that sometimes we don't want to know the answers to, because it means that we may personally be in the driver's seat, or we may actually be that one critical part of our bad health, and it may be coming from our bad habits and from our lifestyles in general. You know, Natasha, when people start thinking about yeast and they start thinking about the idea of yeast. I mean, a lot of people think of yeast for baking bread. And, you know, if you go back 20, 25 years when we used to talk a lot about candidiasis and we used to talk a lot about yeast infections, today things are manifesting to a very big degree. And I think one thing people need to do is take a look at themselves, and they may be very surprised to see that they might be doing things every day that could be really adding to this problem with no knowledge or no real insight that they could be doing it themselves.
Yeah, you know what it is, that just a simple definition to tell you that the reason your immune system reacts to anything that has a protein composition is because bacteria and fungi are basically contain proteins. So anything that has a proteinaceous background aggravates the immune system and causes an autoimmune reaction. And as I said earlier, the way microbes and yeast control their environment is by producing toxins to eliminate competition. Unfortunately, when it happens inside your body, it causes the poisoning of your neurons that are on your GI wall. It causes the destruction of your immune cells. It causes the destruction of your other cells. And when when you have the leaky gut syndrome, which can be aggravated by mold exposure, you've got larger molecules transgressing your intestinal wall and causing a big problem in your bloodstream. And it's as simple as that. And so now I see more and more people not able to eat foods that we were able to eat even 20 or 30 years ago. And this is concerning, because my question is, we're going to get to the point where nobody can eat anything. And that's going to be a real problem, because your body will not be able to tolerate food at all. And the whole purpose of you getting a proper delivery when you're born and having breast milk is to establish not only the right beneficial bacteria, but to establish that tolerance where your body can tolerate the food and the immune system doesn't get upset with food passing your intestinal barrier and nourishing your body. I mean, I'm trying to break it down to simplistic terminology, because I think that people many times don't understand what the process is that's going on in their GI tract.
Well, the thing is that we eat our food, we chew our food, we swallow it. In our mind, we're done. But the body, in many times, is compromised. The guts are compromised. We don't produce enough acid. Our digestibility of the food we're consuming is terrible, or the food can barely be digested properly. And even if it is broken down, the nutrient value is virtually nothing. We're not reestablishing our proper flora into our intestinal tract. We're not enhancing our digestive system. And people start feeling bad, and they start feeling bad all over the place. They start actually feeling completely different. So if someone was going to sit down and spend 10 minutes with themselves, which I think we need to spend more time with ourselves evaluating the things we're doing, because we want a quick answer, but we don't want to really be responsible. But that responsibility is what's going to give the changes that you need. So what questions should you ask yourself if you seem to be fitting into this category?
Yeah, great point, Jeffrey. And these are the simple questions for those of you who don't know. And if you answer yes to any of these questions, you're probably have a problem and should, you know, investigate. Number one, have you taken repeated or prolonged courses of antibacterial drugs? That's number one question. Number two, have you been bothered by recurrent vaginal, prostate, or urinary infections? Three, do you feel sick all over, yet the cause hasn't been found? Are you bothered by hormone disturbances, including PMS, menstrual irregularities, sexual dysfunction, sugar craving, low body temperature, or fatigue? Five, are you unusually sensitive to tobacco smoke, perfumes, colognes, and other chemical odors? Number six, are you bothered by memory or concentration problems? Do you sometimes feel spaced out? Number seven, have you taken prolonged courses of prednisone or other steroids, or have you taken the pill for more than 3 years? Number 8, do some foods disagree with you or trigger your symptoms? Number 9, do you suffer with constipation, diarrhea, bloating, or abdominal pain? Number 10, does your skin itch, tingle, or burn, or is it unusually dry, or are you bothered by rashes? So, you know, those are just the first beginning salvo of questions that people should be asking yourself. And, you know, it could be more than just a mold or fungal overgrowth. We tend to simplify things, but in general, if you're asking yourself these questions, you may be bothered by, you know, toxic compounds produced by mold or yeast or bacteria in the food, and you have now become sensitive to that food. And that's why I go back that you have to know what diet to choose. You have to know what exercise you're able to do, and you have to be able to choose the right probiotic bacteria, the ones who have been shown either by in vitro or in vivo testing that they can, inhibit fungal overgrowth and, you know, help reduce the action of the toxic compounds that either the yeast or the bacteria produce.
You know, and today the people that have these problems are also the ones that are eating a lot of processed foods and are craving that one question about craving sweets. And then again, you know, people will say, well, I don't use any antibiotics, but they eat a lot of chicken and a lot of commercial meat and beef, which is injected with antibiotics. So, you know, we are getting it in one place or another, and we have the capability of getting it from different places. And, you know, we have a tendency when some of these things come up, we just use a medicine to cover up that one individual thing, like a vaginal or infection or a urinary tract infection or a prostate infection. And, you know, people are tired and run down. They just drink more coffee and use more sodas. And people don't think that you could be sensitive to environmental smells and fragrances and concentration. We just think we're overloaded and we're stressed. So sometimes the idea that this could be coming from something like a yeast overgrowth, you know, just like it was 20 years ago when we were really talking about it a lot. And here we are again, a prolonged continuation of it, but intensified today, almost epidemic. You know, people are going to say, I just had no idea. I just thought I was tired.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. There's no harm in going on a diet and a restricted carbohydrate diet. There's no harm in starting a mild exercise program. And there's no harm in taking a probiotic and see if your life changes. The first rule of medicine is do no harm. You're not taking a drug. Of course, it's not good to ignore any symptoms, and you should talk to your doctor to rule out any other, you know, problems that might be manifesting. But I always say to people, you know what harm is there in doing the diet and trying to see if it doesn't make you feel better? There's many diets available that avoid mycotoxins. There's, of course, the famous bulletproof diet espoused by David Asprey. But, you know, I also offer a free limited carbohydrate diet that was developed by a friend of mine who studied, yeast and mold overgrowth and mycotoxins, and actually comes very easy in a trifold. And we give this free to people because we want them to get better. And it has a first step and a second step. And it really tells you what to avoid and what you can eat and what you can't eat. And just for starters, healthy foods to eat, with 4 or 5 servings per week would be broccoli, carrots, cucumber, celery, green beans, squash, salads, onions, garlic, beets, seaweed, olives, cabbage, spinach, bell pepper, asparagus, etc. And, you know, it's just very easy. And I tell people, don't drink fruit juices. They're just too high concentrations of sugar. And also, the minute you break down a fruit or a vegetable, it produces more bacterial load. And many people are not aware that organic foods have a higher yeast and bacterial content than do less organic foods. And this is hard for people to understand because I'm a proponent of organic foods. And I think that's where I come in with my holistic overview of, you know, finding the right things that work for you and become your own detective for what foods make you better. And, you know, do go on a specific probiotic program that meets your needs. And yes, do develop some form of exercise and see if your life doesn't change.
Natasha, how do people get that food list from you if they wanted to get that?
Well, they can, call the company, or go online and just request the limited carb diet. And, okay. of course, we give it to anyone who purchases from us this free limited carb diet and the free exercise program developed by a nationally recognized health and fitness expert, because our whole mission is to get you better. And we're happy to give this to you free of charge. So if you want to call the 866 number, the number 4, and N-A-T-R-E-N, and say you heard it on the Radio MD Power of Health show, and we'll be happy to send you a free brochure that has the limited carb diet.
And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, we have a tendency as a culture today to try to put everybody in the same box, you know, cookie cutter, you know, stamping out everything the same. I mean, even within that program that people can get from you, there is going to be different variations. People are going to find things that they react better to within the realm of the suggested vegetables and things that are in there. They're going to respond better to, you know, they may do better with the darker greens than they do with the lighter colors. And I mean, it is individual, but working within the parameters, you can't go wrong because you're within the parameters of the program. True?
Exactly. And that's what I tell people, that there's no, what I call bulletproof diet. And sorry, I'm not trying to change. But, you know, the bulletproof diet may work for you, or our low-carbohydrate diet may work, because the whole point of our low-carbohydrate diet is you're trying to avoid toxic byproducts in the food supply that may be triggering your symptoms. And that's what it is. And this is based on, you know, being in the industry for more than 45 years and having worked with some really special people who have dedicated their lives to helping people and not just selling books or, you know, selling website information. We really want to offer a service for people. And I might even ask my group to post this limited carb diet on our website so people could even access it on the website.
That would be wonderful. Let me ask you a question. If I'm coming from this and I'm listening to this today and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this sounds like a good idea. Yes, I do fit a lot of those questions. And so I decide to switch over and start eating a different kind of diet. And I'm working in some exercise that works for me, that I enjoy, that I can be consistent with. I've selected a quality strain, a probiotic. I'm drinking water. I'm getting my rest. I'm doing the activity. Now, in this process of doing this and taking away all the foods that have been supporting and nourishing this problem within my body, is the discontinuation, are you stopping it, you know, halting it, you know, and stopping the sugar and all those things from coming in, does the problem alleviate eventually? I mean, does it get under control because I'm starving it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of people, and to use David Asprey as an example, he was grossly overweight, and I guess that's why he went on this bulletproof diet, because it changed his life. And I think he's one of the few people that still talk about fungal growth, overgrowth, and yeast, because people have gotten into a lot of trouble because they did discuss it. But I think the whole point, whatever you call it, is you have to find the thing, you have to sort of be a food detective, and we have to be much more attuned to our digestive system and not treat it like a trash can and dump foods and think that our body is going to operate in an optimal way, and then we're going to run to the doctor and take a magic pill to cover up the symptoms, because frankly it's not working anymore. And you know, we've now altered the what we call the wonderful symbiotic relationship in our body to where it's now not that the microbiome and the microbiota are not balanced. And we see this especially in westernized cultures, because we have a multitude of digestive issues and fatigue and foggy brained is something. If you even talk to people socially, you'll find out the minute they'll start chiming in and say, gosh, I feel that way. I just don't feel good unless I have my 3 cups of coffee in the morning and I don't know what to do.
Let me ask you one quick question. Do you feel that this is more prevalent with the standard American diet, or can this also be something where someone who is vegetarian or vegan, or like I like to say, carbitarian, the ones that basically just don't have any animal products, but they have a lot of sugar and things on their plate, is this something across the board that can affect everybody?
Oh, of course. Vegan just means you don't eat meats, but we're talking about anything that has a high load of carbohydrates or sugar. And remember, carbs are sugars. They're just maybe slower acting than pure sugar, even artificial sweeteners. We now know that artificial sweeteners have a negative impact on the body. In fact, they've been shown to cause weight gain rather than reduce weight gain. So there's a lot of things that we're learning, and I think what we need to do is really look at this material and apply it holistically to our life, because I know some people do terrifically when they become a vegan and they really do their research to make sure they're getting their nutrients. Other people don't do so well and may have actually a problem because they don't have the microbiota that can produce the necessary compounds to utilize and gain the nutrients from the dramatic switch in diet. And that's what I've also told people in our industry, that we all recommend the consumption of this raw food. But if you look at historically, the reason we started stir-frying food or baking food or simmering food is because you want to break down, first of all, the nutrients so that the food can be readily digested and absorbed. And more importantly, you want to reduce the bacterial load or the fungal load of food that you ingest. And I think in our last 40 years, we've sort of lost that connection, especially disconnected from our culture. And most people I know today don't even know basic sanitary applications to their food handling and how to prepare food for themselves. And especially eating the processed foods, the chemical-laden foods and the fast foods has been shown repeatedly to have a really bad impact on our health. So what I've talked about previously, that we see why the rise in autism and attention deficit is if you have a generational problem with digestive issues in the third or fourth generation, you're going to see a pop-up of autistic behavior, attention deficit behavior, and all kinds of cognitive problems that are now beginning to manifest themselves in huge proportions.
You know, the question comes in, I wonder how many people today really do take the time to wash their fruits and vegetables when they come home from the store. I mean, I know a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people figure that we're getting it at the store, it's been washed, it's clean, it's ready to go, and we put it in the bags and we take it home and we eat it. And I think there's probably a lot of people that have never, ever thought twice, you know, that it could be even any kind of an issue. And I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll rinse off things at the house and vegetables and fruits, and I can't believe the amount of stuff that comes off.
Yeah, I think we have to go back to sanitation. Even the so-called triple washed salad should still be washed, because frankly, it's being handled by somebody in a food manufacturing facility. And the sad truth is, we don't have enough inspectors that go often enough to these facilities to make sure that the bacterial load is low. And if you're specifically sensitive, you have to be very careful. I think we have to go back to basics, learning what foods we can consume raw and what foods we shouldn't consume raw. And I hate to say this, but, you know, just recently a company that professes to sell a lot of raw supplements and protein powders had an outbreak of salmonella in 27 cases across the country and possibly more. So we see that outbreak of foods that are sold raw, that are mishandled, and people are not connecting the two, that you have to assess the food holistically and what you're doing in your kitchen that can affect your health.
We need to remember that we need to, like Natasha was saying, we need to wash our fruits and vegetables. We need to be aware of the diet we're eating. We need to be honest with ourselves about the things that we do every day, our exposure to toxins and the kinds of foods we're eating. We need to listen to our bodies, and we need to take a look at some of those questions that she posed about antibiotics and urinary tract infections. Have you been on the pill? Are you tired a lot? Are you sleeping well? You know, these are some questions you need to ask yourself, because you know what? We have to be the ones in charge. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this segment and all my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thank you for listening, and stay well.